We are holding today in Masechet Ta'anit, and our daf is daf Chof Hei, and it's brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadesh, and we had gotten up to, we were about 12 lines down in the big lines on Chof Hei Amud Aleph, and we got up to Chad Beishimsha Chazil Avarte Dave Atziva. That's where we were. So Chad Beishimsha, we're continuing on with these wonderful stories that we had learned yesterday about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and all of the schuyas that he had and the amazing things that happened to him. So one Friday, by the time of Hadlakas Neiros, he sees that his daughter was in very bad mood. She says to her, Biti, Lamay Atziva, it's Erev Shabbos, you're in a bad mood. Omrale, she said, I made a terrible mistake. I took out the bottle of vinegar. I thought it was the bottle of oil, and I went ahead, and I was madlik mimenu or le Shabbat. I lit the candles for Shabbos using the vinegar bottle. Oy vavoy, so obviously the whole thing is just going to go out in a second here. And now I don't, what am I going to do now? Not even enough time. Oh, Marley, this is what you're sad about. Biti ma'ichpatlach. What difference does it make? Misha amar l'shemen v'yidlok, kuyo amar l'chometz v'yidlok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the oil to burn. So what's the problem of getting vinegar to burn? You think there's some basic difference between oil and vinegar? Eh. It's interesting that we find the same exact fascinating anhaga. I think that it was the Sablin from Slobodka that pointed this out. But we see the amazing anaga that when the metal kli had fallen into the water and Elisha needed to get it out, but the Rechneis, he first took an eitz and he throws the eitz into the water and the eitz floats. And when the eitz floats, then it says Vitzofa Parzala, that then the barzel came up and floated. So apparently, you first need to define a hanhaga in which flotation is part of the way that things are. And then you can extend that concept and say that this should be something that is floatable. But you can't just start from nowhere and create a whole brand new idea. The same thing was true over here. He said, look, oil can burn. Okay, fine. So then there's combustion. So there's elements of combustion and vinegar. It'll be fine. So, ayadolek v'olech kol yom kulo. And indeed, her Shabbos lamps, they continued burning the whole Shabbos. Ad she'evim imenu ula avdala. And then they brought the light to light the avdala candle from it. They didn't want to use that light itself because that was my sinisin. So on Shabbos, you couldn't very well put it out. So fine, that was the light that they had. But as soon as, like we saw yesterday, as soon as it was possible to avoid ma'asenisim, they avoided the Ma'asenisim. There was another story where Chanina ben Dosa had some goats. So, Havilohaneich, easy. Amrulei, so people said to him, listen, you know, your goats are running around causing damage. Because Lamai said goats are really also to raise, like we're going to see. You're not allowed to have goats here. So he said, my goats? My goats couldn't possibly damage anybody. Because my goats are like extensions of me. They know perfectly well they're not allowed to damage. And I'll tell you what. If they damage anybody, they should be eaten up by bears. Rashi's Girsa is not dubi, but divi, which is wolves. Man, it's a little bit more. But it definitely sounds much more Winnie the Poohish this way. So it fits better in with Reb Chanina ben Dosa. So, okay. So let the bears eat them up. This is like Gabi's house. Gabi's got bears walking in front of his house. This is okay. Let the bears eat up the goats. But if not, every one of these goats should come back carrying a bear on its horns tonight. Sure enough, that evening, every single one came back with a bear, and everybody knew that these goats were not causing any trouble. Another time, Avelushi Vavta had a neighbor who was building a house. And as we've seen many times, because of we saw this in the sugya of the Takana of Morish, that we don't ever tell people, even if they stole the roof beam, then they're not mechuyev to tear down the house in order to get the roof beam to be able to give it back because of a Takana Sashovim. So you see, it was very difficult. We've seen this many times in Kabbalah, the Dinim of Shabbos, and Muktzeh Machmas Chisar and Kis, that these were things that were very difficult to get. And so this neighbor was devastated when she found out that the roof beams that they had ordered, and she thought that the carpenters had followed the diagram of the building, that the walls were too far away for the roof beams to reach. So Lamaisa, the whole thing was an investment in which she was unable to complete the house. She comes to him and she says, look, Atulakame, she says, Baniti Beiti, Volokamatu Kushuroi. This is, I think, J.D. Salinger wrote a book about this, right? Rock down the roof beams, Seymour or something, right? The same book as Seymour. Carpenter. Nobody remembers. It's too long ago. Okay. But it was, I think, in the 50s, but it was one of his short books. So he says to her, so what's your name? And she says, my name is Aiku. So he says, Aiku, Nimti Kushurayach. Your beams should get longer and reach where they need to get. Tana Higiu Achiyatsu Amalakan Vi Amalakan. They got so long that they stuck out an extra ama on each side of the wall. Others say that it wasn't that the nes was that they extended more than the original material was, because that's not possible. But that instead, the nes was that there were pieces that ended up being added. So the Rabbi Gershon says that the Malachim came in, but whatever it is, they were made longer than they had been before. And Tanya Plimo Omer, I want you to know that I actually took one of these Barnea trips where they were pointing out all of the Nisim of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, and they showed me that house, and they said, this is the house, Ani Raiti Oto Abayit, and sure enough, there were Korot, there were an Amalekan, va Amalekan were sticking out, which is abnormal, and everybody in the area told me, that's the house that Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa actually put the roof beams on using his tefillah. Now, there's an interesting side issue over here, which is, why did he ask her her name and say, Aiko Nimtu Kishurai? The reason it's Nogea is because it's Nogea the halacha of whether you're supposed to be maskir the name of the person that you're praying for. So as we know, we're very makbet to say the correct name of a chela when we're being mavakish for a chela. But the question is, if you're coming in, let's say to be mavakir as a chela, so one of the dinim is that you're mispalel for the chela. In front of the person, do you mention the name? We paskin, you do not need to mention the name in front of the person. And we find, in fact, with Moshe Rabbeinu, kel na refon Allah, take care of her. He doesn't say, you know, Miriam, bas Yocheved, or anything like that. So basically, there seems to be a problem. Why did he say Aiko? So some say, you see from here, that is, that's always useful for tefillah, even if you're not mechuyev to, but it's always useful for tefillah to mention the name. But it could also be, I mean, I haven't seen anybody said that, but that the word Aiko is necessary as part of the tefillah, because Aiko means, like in Aramaic, Aiko hashed, okay, so, you know, if it wouldn't be for now, let's do it now, and so on. So that word Aiko is sort of a playful word here. Aiku, Nimtu Kishurayach. Okay, so what's the big deal? Okay, so then let the Kishurim be bigger, the same way he used the Lusha before, Mishamar. So what's the big deal? It's all about what's the big deal. So that's the Aiku that he may be using over here, not that it should be brought as a Raya Halacha, as some of the Poskim do. What is Gershi writing over here? What's the translation, Safaria? Oh, interesting, really? Huh. Okay, somebody's got brains. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, they say the
trumpet said it as, if so, they will
be
reach your okay, good. Fine. Anyway, so that was that site, and that's in the Barnea tour book. And but the question is, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, Mechan Havelayizim, how the heck did Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa own goats? I mean, he was so poor. We said all that he had was a kaf charuvim, Erev Shabbat, Erev Shabbat. Where did he get goats from? Not to mention the fact that you're not even allowed to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael. Ein megadlim be'emad dakab Eretz Yisrael. Now, Lemaisa, the Gra takes out this whole piece. And it doesn't appear in some of the earlier sources that we're asking this is the question. And in fact, it's pretty clear that the Maisa that follows, there was a different Girsa because it shows up differently in Yaakov, and it's not, the Pashtus was that he found the goats, because of that he wasn't allowed to get rid of them. Okay, but anyway, we'll read the Maisa as it appears over here, even though it doesn't seem to answer the problem of how are you, it answers the problem of how could he afford goats, but it doesn't explain the problem of how he bought goats. So I'm Rav Pinchas. A guy once was in front of the house of Rabbi Hanina's door, and accidentally he left them some chickens there. He forgot to take them. Rabbi Hanina and Bendoza's wife came out, found the chickens, and Rabbi Hanina said to him, look, the guy's going to come back for the chickens, and you can't eat even the eggs, because you're going to have to give back the eggs to him also. And they started like laying eggs and hatching Tarnagolim, and it was driving them crazy. They couldn't take care of it. So the halacha is that you're allowed to sell it as long as you buy something that is going to continue to grow and will produce profit. So they did. So they sold it, and they invested the money in these izim. So Pamachad, the guy is walking in front of his house, and he's saying to a friend, oh, heck, this is the place where I left my chickens, darn it. The Rabbi Hanina overhears him and says, wait a minute, have you got a siman on the chickens? He said, yeah, and he gives him the siman. And sure enough, he was the correct owner. So Rabbi Hanina gave him the izim, and those were the izim, the famous izim, in which the whole Winnie the Pooh story is based. The Aite Dube Bekarnayu, those were the Yizim that had carried the bears on their horns. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat was very, very poor, and Dechika le Milta Tuva. In Ovad Milta, so once he had to have a bloodletting, V'lohavi le Midi le Mita. Usually, you have to have something afterwards to eat in order to restore your keach from the loss of blood. And he had nothing to eat, and because of that, all he found was a piece of garlic, shoshaka bar de tuma, clove, a bar garlic clove. And he puts it into his mouth, and he just got so faint that he pushed it fainted away. Cholash libe venim. So the rabbanon came to find out how he was doing. They knew he wasn't feeling well. They wanted to see if he's okay. They see him in his faint, that he's crying and he's laughing and there's sparks coming out of his forehead and tzitzita de nura miapute. Anyway, so when he wakes up, they say, what's going on over there? Why were you crying? And why were you laughing? Amar lehu, so he says, well, this was a near-death experience, man. I can tell you, havayati v'mikutru brichu. I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting with me and I ask him, you know, I can't take this. Ad matai etzta'er b'hayama, how long am I supposed to go on living like this? So he says to me, Elazar, my son Elazar, I mean, I tell you what I could do. I could start the whole Maisa Bereishis over again. And you never know, next time the economy may be better when you come around, you know. So is that okay? You want me to try that? So, I'll press delete and start the next simulation. After the Miyaladit Bishayat HaDemizoni, the economy might be better. So I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're kidding. You would do all of that, and all you could say is, maybe the economy will be better. Oh, my God. So Kulei Haive Efsha? It's just maybe? Oh, gosh, it's a hard decision to make. Let me ask you something, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have I lived most of my life, or do I have most to go? I mean, if I've already lived it, you know, what the heck? I guess I could take a little bit more. So the Chayitvei or the Chayani? So he said to me, don't worry, what you already lived is the rov. It won't go on for too long. So I said to him, okay, if that's the case, I could probably take it more. So im kein lo be'ina. And then I don't want you to have to restart from the beginning. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, oh, since you're so nice to me, and you didn't make me go to all that trouble, so b'hai agra da amrit lo be'ina, in the schus of telling me that you don't want me to start over again, I'm going to give you something special in Olam Haba. You thought that you suffered because you didn't have a swimming pool? I'm going to give you Tleser Narvata the Mishka Farsim Odachion Kiprat Vidiglat. You're talking about the Euphrates River, the Tigris River. then there's going to be so much pure, 13 gigantic rivers pure of pure balsam oil. And you'll have so much fun, much better than a swimming pool. So I look at him and I say, that's it? Hi, Vitulo, this is it? 13 crummy rivers of balsam? For my telling you, you don't have to redo the whole world? Does not seem to be enough. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to me, look, what am I supposed to leave for your friends? I mean, my gosh, this is crazy. If I give you more, I mean, I got to have enough to go around. So I say to him, I understand. Am I asking from someone of limited resources? I thought that we're talking about infinite resources over here. I mean, what's happening? So machen baskutla putai. So he snaps his fingers on my forehead and says, you're a chutzpah yak, you boy. Elazabri, Yeri Bokire, I'm shooting my arrows with you. You're driving me crazy. So that was the sparks that were coming out of my forehead. So I was sad about the fact that I didn't have long to live, happy about the fact that I had all of these fun interchanges and thoughts about these 13 rivers, and that was the sparks that were coming out. But you see an amazing thing over here. Like, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do that. You know, Rashi said before that no, we're not mispal on Dever because it's a gezeira. And so our thought is like, you know, okay, fine. So you just change things around. You don't just change things around. I mean, we don't ask for mais and nisim. We're talking about a world that has developed and it goes its path of development as Kel Shakai originally set up for it. Now it has to find its way. I mean, you want some things to change. So then you have to understand that changing things is changing everything. There's no such thing as changing something. So basically, what you want on certain levels is the possibility that everything should be different. You sure you want everything to be different? Maybe not. Anyways, it's just an amazing, amazing gilui of the Hanhagas Hashem, the responsiveness to tefillah. And look, I mean, if everything has to change, we can start over. That's fine. But take responsibility for your tefillah and understand sometimes it's the way it is. This is the life that you have. And these are the things that you need Siyata Jemaya for. But to change everything is not necessarily what it is that you want.
Reb Chama has also raised that you see that the world needed him. That each person is a part of him.
So, I mean, the other profound thing, which wasn't directly in the Geatainis, but I guess if Reb Chama brought it up again. So then, I mean, the amazing thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say that if I started the universe over again, we will still have you. Why would we have you? Right? That's the crazy thing. I mean, it's all very nice. Next time you'll be born in a better economy. Who is you next time? That's the amazing thing. Right? So you see from here that those particular constructs that are what Chazal referred to, ad shekol yichlu kol neshamot shebeguf, that there's, so to speak, a guf, lamala, in which all of these constructs need to be on some level in the universe as it is, is something that we can take. I'm sure of one thing. I'm sure that I'll have a conversation with you in the next simulation as to whether the economy will be good. That I can't guarantee you. And of course, Moshe is coming up. And what about Otniel ben Kenaz? We're miyad asak adish baruch hu when he was mevakesh. We always have our loyal Otniel ben Kenaz supporter over here who insists on other hanhagas. But this, he was Gadol Miechov, remember. Mechubad Miechov. Okay. Rav Chama Bar Chanina was once Gezer Tainis, and it didn't rain. So people come to him and said, hey man, what's with you? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was Gezer Tainis, and there was rain. How come, like, you're such a shmo? So he said to him, okay, look, I'm over here. I mean, I don't know exactly how you're comparing. There's me here. There's Bar Levoy over there. I mean, if you're telling me you need him, get him to come here. And if he comes here, we could be machaving our das together. And maybe with two people like me and with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, so maybe this idiotic congregation will be shover their leif and they'll do tshuva and then we'll have rain. Stop blaming me for everything. Anyway, so they did. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came and it didn't make any difference. Bon rachmi v'loati mitra, still the rain didn't come. So he said to them, okay, so now, you obviously don't have the schus as a tzibur. Would you like us to daven that it should be in our schus, that it should come down? And it's not going to be an embarrassment for you? And they said, yeah, we're necher. Well, what can we do? We need it. So he looks up at the sky and he says, Rekia, Rekia, kasi panayich, cover up your face. Meaning there should be clouds. Nah, nothing happened. This is a pretty big shock. So he says, what a chutzpah. At kama azin pnei rakia. They are so chutzpahic. This sky, so then it immediately got covered with clouds and the rain started to come. Now, once Levi was geyser at Tainis, and there was no rain, so he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, basically, I see that you've gone upstairs, you're watching TV, and have nothing to do with your children anymore. Alita v'yashavta b'maron. Enata marachim al-banai, b'necha. So it started to rain, but Levi became lame from that maisa because of his chutzpah and how he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, Rabbi Elazar said, Lo'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klapi mala. A person should never throw things up to Hashem as if he's complaining. Hareyodam godol yatiach dvarim klapi mala ve'itla. A great man did that, and he became lame. Umanu, that was Levi. So that's not the correct anoga, even if it's for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Wait a minute, that's not why he became lame. I thought we had the whole sugya about how it was, and remember Masechet Sukkah, that he had bowed down, and he was showing Rebbe how it is you're supposed to do Kida, as opposed to Shtachavoya, and he ended up hurting his vertebrae, because he had gone completely over, and he was just supporting his whole weight on his thumbs, like Rashi explained over there, and it said that that's why he became lame. So what are you telling me, that he became lame because he spoke not nice? No, Havah Garmale. It was both things. The reason that happened to him when he did something that was a little bit dangerous and shouldn't have affected him was because of the way that he spoke. Obviously, there's always the particular tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to, at that time, the person puts himself into a matzav of any level of sakana, then he has to have the schus to be nitzal mimenu. Reb Chiya Bar Luliani once hears some clouds talking to each other. And he hears them saying, Sheminu l'hanach anani, the ka'amre. You know what? Let's get out of here and pour all our water down on Ammon and Moab. So he turns to Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how unfair this is. When you wanted to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, didn't you first go to all of the nations on earth and you asked Ammon and Moab, do you guys want to get the Torah? And they laugh. No, what's it say? No, it doesn't fit our way of looking at the world. And they didn't take the Torah. So now it's time to give the water and the rain. And what do? You want to allow these clouds to go and give it to them and not to us? It's outrageous. The clouds should let out their rain right here. And sure enough, it started to rain and they let out all of their rain. Doresh Rebbe Chiya Bar Luliani. My dichtiv, tzadika tamar yifrach, keres balavanon yizkeh. Once we're talking about Rebbe Chiya Bar Luliani, why does it say in the posik that a tzadik is like a tamar, and he will also be like the eres? So he's going to grow tall like the eres, and he's going to like blossom forth like the tamar. I mean, which one is it? Im ne'emar tamar, lama ne'emar eres. V'im ne'emar eres, lama ne'emar tamar. Oh, said Reb Chiya Bar Luliani, I'll tell you why. Because there are different elements that we need to understand that the tzaddik is like. Imagine that it had said Tamar and had not said Eretz. So I would have said, Ayiti Tamar, Ayiti Omer. Just like the Tamar, Ein Gizo Machliv. Av tzaddik Chas V'Shalom, Ein Gizo Machliv. So what do you think? That a tzaddik who's cut down Chas V'Shalom, so something terrible happens to him, you think that he doesn't regrow? Or he dies, you think that he doesn't come back in the Trias Hamesim, or he doesn't have Talmidim. Lekach ne'mar eres, because an eres, if you cut it down, it actually regrows. On the other hand, suppose it had just said eres, and it wouldn't have said tamar, I would have said, well, an eres, which is a cedar, doesn't have any fruit. So maybe chas v'chalila, just like an eres, eno se perot, the tzaddik, chas v'shalom, Eino seperot, he doesn't have maisim tevim, he doesn't have schar neilam haba, he doesn't leave over his Torah to Talmidim. Lekach neemar tamar v'neemar eres, so that you should know that he has both milas. He has full of fruits, and also he constantly regenerates. Wait a minute. Eres? Gizo machliv? First I heard about that. You're telling me if you cut down a cedar, that it's going to regrow from the leftover trunk of the tree? But Tanya, that's not true. The Baraisa says, suppose you buy the rights to a tree to cut down. So you're basically buying the lumber from the guy, and you buy the rights to the tree for lumber. So that means you have to allow enough for regrowth of new forest, because you didn't buy the rights to the old tree, you just brought the rights to the lumber. So then you have to leave at least a tefach above the ground level in order for it to regrow. And then you can grow. And then you can cut. And the tree will grow back, the code says. If we're talking about you bought the rights to a seden hashikmar, remember that was the sycamore used to be the main source of regenerable wood. So that was sustainable forest. They would use the sycamore. Every time you cut it, it would get thicker and thicker and produce stronger lumber. But over there, you've got to use the sadan, that was the big, thick trunk at the bottom, that you need to leave two tvachim for. Because that's mamish, the business. And if you're talking about a betula that had never been cut down before of shikma, so then you have to make sure that you leave shlosha tvachim, because you need to have a lot of regenerating tissue, because the sycamore grows very thick. If you're talking about thin things like grapevines, or like reeds, so then you go from the first pekak above the ground, so the first knot above the ground, and you cut. If you're talking, however, now dig this, and I mean dig this, b'dekalim u'ba'arazim, if we're talking about palms or cedar, then you just dig it, and your chob filamato mashrish, you dig out the whole thing, because they do not regenerate. Oh, so here it says the tafka, the eres, is exactly like the tamar, lefisha engizo machliv. So what was he talking about? This was not exactly in line with the drasha of why he needs to be compared to both the eres and to the tamar. Says the Gemara, well, we're not talking, did you forget the whole sugi we had before? We're not talking about the kind of eres that you're thinking about. We're talking about Bishar Mine Arazim, Ked Rabba Baravuna. The Omar Rabba Baravuna, Asara Mine Arazim. Remember the posik that we darshan of attained by Midbar, Eret, Shitav, Adas, and we ended up with seven different ones, and we brought a rye, there was another three, and we went through the whole sugya showing that there were actually 10 different types of arrows. Tan Rabbana, another Maisa, about Taniyot, where Rebbe Eliezer was goes there the full 13 ta'aniyot, and it didn't help. Lo yardu gishamim. So everybody's getting ready to leave the shul. They're holding their talis and tefillin, walking out the door. So Rebbe Eliezer says, wait a minute, people, before you leave, I just want to make sure everybody has a grave, everybody has tachrich, and I mean, you're all ready to die, I'm assuming, right? Because, I mean, we're just walking out, and apparently there's no problem, and life will go on without any food. I mean, I don't think you guys are thinking clearly. Go kol ha'am b'vchiya, when they realized what he was saying, they all started to cry, and then finally, their hearts were softened enough to do tshuva, v'yardu gishamim. Another ma'aseh with Rebbe Eliezer was when he himself davened as a shliach tzibur on the big tainus where we have the 24 brachas, and he says the whole esrim v'arba brachot, and nothing happened. Lo na. There was no rain. So Rabbi Akiva, he took over afterwards, and he says, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein lanu melech ala ata. This, of course, is the moker that we have of the whole Indian of Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, Aseh l'mancha, l'mancha rachem aleinu. Anyway, then it started to rain. So Avi Moranan e'Rabbanan, so everybody started saying, look at this. My gosh, Rebbe Eliezer is supposed to be the big Gadol Hador. And he didn't get the terrain. And this Rebbe Akiva comes along and it starts raining right away. So Yotzta Bat Kol, the Amra, Lo mipnei sheze gadol mizeh. It's not because Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Elo sheze ma'avir al midotav. Rabbi Akiva doesn't stand on his own midas. So he's meikel to people, and he's meichel them, and so on. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is a no ma'avir al midotav. And so memela the midah keneged midah is that for Rabbi Akiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevayochel will be ma'avir al midotav and won't hold their averas against them. Whereas for Rabbi Eliezer, I wasn't willing to do that. So I can tell you how my Rebbe understood this, chas v'chalila, that it should be just like this, because then Lemaisa would have meant that Rabbi Akiva was greater than him. So what are you telling me? Lo mi pnei sheze gadol mizeh. El the pshat was that Rabbi Eliezer was, remember, from the big Talmidim of Beit Shammai. And all of his anhaga was alib de Beit Shammai. And the whole inyan Beit Shammai, as the word Shammai means, a Shammai is an assessor, so that everything was with tremendous hakpada on every aspect of din. And because of that, it was his anhaga, alpi Beit Shammai, that he was not Mavral Midaisav. So even though he wasn't Mavral Midaisav, not because he had bad midas, but because that was the anhaga, alpi the halacha, according to him, doesn't matter. It was still koveya, the hanhaga, of how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knowing with him. So that the mida keneged mida is not something that you're a bad boy and I'll be bad to you. It is the way that you're noyeg alpi that particular hanhaga. Tana Rabban, we said that if lo yardu gishamim, then we go to the next series of three. And then we go to the next series of eight. What is considered to be yardu gishamim? I mean, because in all of the discussions that we've had over here, we spoke about, no, these aren't the gishamim that I wanted, as Chonia Magal said, or these aren't the right gishamim, they didn't come down for the trees, or they didn't come down for the tfua, or they didn't come down to fill up the reservoirs. When we're talking about the rain coming, what is considered to be the rain coming on the Madrega that it would stop the next series of Taniyot and we wouldn't have to beat Mitana? Or for that matter, when we're talking about even if the rain comes in the middle of the day, the Mishnah says at the end, which we'll get to later, about what time in the day the rain would come and so on. But what does it mean that the rain came? How much rain? So, Ad Matai Yu Agishamim Yordim Vatzibur Poskim Mitanita. So at what point do we not go on to the next level of the Tainis Tzibur? Kimlo Berech HaMacharesha, Divrei Rabbi Meir. It's that it should penetrate the ground to the extent that the knee of the plow, which is the part that is goes into the ground and under the ground level, it has to go all the way down to how far the Macharesha would penetrate. The Chachamim say, well, it depends on the status of the ground, obviously. You can't just measure how deep it goes. How tough and hard was the ground? I mean, if the ground had been recently plowed, then a small amount of rain is going to penetrate much more deeply. So you can't judge the amount of rain by just giving me an amount of penetration of ground. You have to tell me what kind of ground. So the shear is bechareva. So if the soil is very dry, so then if there's enough rain that it can get into very dry soil, even just a single tefach, that's enough. If it's not so hardened and dried, so it's beinonit, it's like medium soil, tfachayim. And if it was recently avudah, so it had been plowed, so then three tfachim. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, you need to understand that when we talk about rainfall, it's not as if we're relying on that one tefach or two tfachim or three tfachim, as the case may be, in the soil, that we're relying on that amount of rainfall. And that's like what's going to save the world. Because what really is happening always is the amount of rain that we note that comes down in the soil locally causes always the water table and the water sheds to be filled with water. And that's really the main point. So you can't really judge it locally. But what we do know is that ein lecha tefach milamala, if you had, in that kind of soil, you had a full tefach, then you should know that the water table has gone up by three tefachim, ultimately, with that amount of rain, which is going to bring a tremendous amount of extra fertility to the trees, to the earth. wait a minute, but there's a braita that says two tvachim. You said three tvachim. Is it two or is it three? Well, gosh, I mean, it depends. I didn't tell you whether we're talking about karka avuda or karka sheina avuda. I mean, obviously, it takes more water to get to a tefach in a hard soil. So that is talking about it actually went a full tefach into that. That's going to cost three tvachim. If it penetrates only one tefach into avudah, so then it's only going to cause the water table to rise by two tefachim. Or my Rabbi Elazar, kishemenaschin et ha-mayim b'chag. So when you pour out the extra nisach ha-mayim that comes in the other tzinorot than the nisach ha-yayin, so we have that one cup that you put the yayin into, and then we're menasach as ha-mayim. So one tahom, you can hear the tahom, the different watersheds speaking to each other. So tahom, omer lechaveiro. Rashi says that it could be referring to the difference between the tahom in the rakia, so to speak, which we said, Kadosh Baruch Hu has his water of the mayim el yainim, which that was the machlokas we had with Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua Gufa before. So one of the tahom says to the other, Abba meimecha. So let your waters come flowing forth, because kol shnei reim ani shobea. I hear two friends at the same time. And that's the sound of the nisach ha-yayin and the nisach ha-mayin. Because the pasuk says, tahom el tahom kore, l'kol tzinorecha. So then that means one tahom calls to the other tahom, and it calls to the sounds of the music of the tzinorot on the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach that are coming to fill the shittim. Omar Rabba, l'didi chasi lihai ridya. I saw the malach that's in charge of the gishami. Obviously, it doesn't mean in charge because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mafteach shel gishami. He doesn't have the maftechot, but he's the one who puts the water here, puts the water there. And obviously, it looked exactly like the egel. And it's pirsa svatai. And it was, looked like it was smiling. It had its lips open. And kaima bein toma tata la toma ila. And it looks like it's right at the horizon where you find the sky and the earth meeting over the water, so to speak. So you could see the place where the mayim al-yonim and the mayim atachtonim, they come together, and that's where you could see a vision of that malach. And to the him in the sky, he says, chashor meimecha. That's what we learned before in the pasuk, remember? Chashrat. We talked about chashrat mayim from the avim. So that means to let the water sprinkle down as if it's coming through a sieve. And to the tahom under the ground, he says, abba meimecha. Let your waters flow out, gushing. So that, because it's two completely different types of anhaga. Shinemar hanitzanim nir uba aretz, eta zamir higia, v'kol hator nishma bartzenu. Now the tor has a double meaning, because a tor means a shore in Arabic. And because of that, with darsh in the pasuk. So now, if the idea is that the kol tzinorecha becomes the equivalent of these nitzanim, so I hear these two flowers that have started to blossom. Eta zamir, which is the time of the shira on Sukkot, where we have the special shira and the tkias for the nisuchim. And because of that, the call of the tor, referring to the shor, which is the egel, that proclaims that the gishamim should be put down, now it becomes the zman of the gishamim. Okay, that's one possibility, and we'll settle with that one of Rashi's pshat, which is closest to the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, next thing we learned in the Mishnah is that it's possible that if it started raining on a tainis tzibur in the middle of the day, or at some point in the day, that we're mafsik the tainis. What is that point? So we had a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer. So then they do not ein mashlimim. Rebbe Eliezer says ad chatzos. So you have until noon, because the main meal, basically your real serious eating, is not breakfast, but it's the afternoon, and that's when you would have felt that you're already started the dinus. And if that was the main dinus, then you don't stop in the middle. So the Braita has different shitas, actually, different mandiyomrim. Tana Rabbana. Hayu mitanim liyardulem gishamim kodem aneitzach ama, which is the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, lo yashlimu. But if it didn't rain until achra aneitzach ama, then yashlimu. Now it turns out that's Rabbi Meir shita. Divrei Rabbi Meir, like the Tanakhama in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, who is the shita of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, says, kedem chatzot, lo yashlimu. Le'achar chatzot, yashlimu, because that's the main achila. And here we find the new shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, if it started to rain before teisha shos manios in the yom, you don't have to be mashlim. If it's le'achar teisha shos, le'achar teisha shos, then you do have to be mashlim, because then it's already past the Suda, even for people of nobility and royalty, and we find that Achav Melech Yisrael made a fast that was only relevant from 9 hours up, and it was considered to be a fast, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gufa says to Eliyahu HaNavi, this was the whole story, the horrible story of Kerem Nevot, and he goes and he's Ratzachta Gam Yarashta, his wife takes over the Kerem for him. And of course, it was exactly what he had set up. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Elio, and he says, Dibarte lav ko amar Hashem, haratzachta v'gam yarashta. Tell him, ko amar Hashem, bimkom asher lokeku haklavim edam navot, yoloku haklavim edam cha gamata. So, oh gosh. And Achav says, this is terrible. Okay, so he starts accusing Elio, and Elio tells him that Hinani mevi elecha ra'ah, uviyarti acharecha v'ichrati la'achav mashtin bekir v'yatzur v'yazul b'Yisrael. The famous neviyas of mashtin bekur notati et bitchav k'veit yirovam benavat, because of the fact that you, and amizevel, the klavim, and so on and so forth, hamet la'achav ba'ir, yoch horrible, horrible clothes, hamet b'sadeh, yoch lua v'shamayim. And what happens? Vayiki shmo achav et advarim ha'ele, vayikra b'gadav, we've been talking about, of course, the whole sugya, the idea of the point at which a person is finally affected to realize his own chesreinus, and it moves him to do tshuva. And it's a remarkable thing how difficult it is. That's what all of these sugyas show. These people were fasting. These people had come in as with the gishamim, the tiniest with the gishamim, which means that they had had public meetings, and they had talked about all of the things that were wrong in their society, and they had all been makabel to fix them, and people had paid back the money, and whatever it was, didn't make any difference. They still were not nichna'im. There was no achnas alev. Okay, yeah, we'll fix this, we'll fix that. That's not what we're looking for in the tainus. We're looking for the ability to actually see yourself. And that's extremely difficult. So Achav, when he hears this, finally, the terrific things that it took to move him, I mean, to hear that nevias is horrifying to think of. And so because of that, he tears his clothes. Vayosem sakal b'soro, he sits down on the ground, and he's misana, and he realizes he finally does tshuva, like a halich ad, he's walking around, a broken man. So at that moment, it says, vayit var Hashem el Eliyahu atishbi, harayita ki nichna achav milafanai, ya'an ki nichna mipanai lo avi ara'ah b'yamav, and only be mevino. So that's like really astonishing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that it calls what Achav was doing to be a valid tainus, even though all of the events of the Kerem Nevos and the story with Ezevel had all happened before. So obviously what we're talking about over here is towards the time that he was ready to eat and he didn't. So that means that even if it's Acher, Teisha shows, it was considered to be that he was Misana. And therefore I say that if Achav is considered to be Misana, then that is what defines a tainus. And once Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya was gozer to Anita v'yordulam gishomim lachar netzachama, right after the nates, it starts to rain. So, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya figured that the halacha is like the Tanakama, and sover la shulminu, and he was going to insist that they have to keep the tainus till the end of the day. So Rabbi Ami told Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, no, we actually pasquit like the mission of Kedem Chatzos V'Yachar Chatzos, which is also in the Brisa, and we know that one is like Rabbi Yehuda, and one is like Rabbi Eliezer, putting the two together, like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like the two of them, and therefore it's okay. As long as it was before Chatzos, we could stop fasting. Once Shmuel HaKotan was Gozer Tanita, and it starts raining right away, before Chatzot. Wow, so everybody was saying, oh, wow, Baruch Hashem, we were Zeicha, we're such a wonderful community, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with us. Amar Lahem, let me set you guys straight, says Shmuel HaKotan. You think that you're a marvelous community, and I, as your rabbi, can guarantee you that you stink. So you're asking, so why did God send us the rain? Here is an Eved who is trying to get something out of his master, you know. So the master sees the Eved coming in, and he says to the accountant, will you do me a favor? I hate this guy. I don't want to see him. Just do me a favor. Give him a check before he even gets here, so I do not have to deal with him. I'm sure this has happened to some of the relationships that you've had with Mishulachim. Just please, I don't want to go through the whole, right? It happens all the time. Just give him extra money. Just please keep him out of the house. So, okay. So that's what happened over here. So he tells him, Tainlo velo yishmakolo, just give him the check so I don't have to hear him. I'm sick of him. That's what happened over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want your stupid tefillahs because of the way that I can't stand your stupid tefillahs. So he said, okay, fine. I don't need this tinus. Let them get their rain and get out of here. There was another maizah where Shmuel HaKotan was Gozer Tanita. The whole day passes. They keep the whole time. Finally, after Shkias HaChama, it starts to rain. After they kept the whole tinus. So Kisvum HaOmel Omar, Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha to do tshuva, and means HaKadosh Baruch Hu now approves of us. Shvacha shel tzibur. Amar lahem Shmuel HaKotan, let me tell you what's really going on. Believe me, lo shevach shel tzibur. Listen, I know the truth. I'm sholachem mashal. You know what this is like? L'ma davar dome. L'evet shemevakesh pras mirabo. So he tells the people, keep him in the waiting room, will you? Let him sit there, driving himself crazy, eating his kishkas out. Oy vey, he's never going to see me hour after hour after. Keep him waiting, keep him waiting. At the last, fine, when it's final, we have to close the doors, give him what he wants. But don't let him think that we like him. So, I mean, what would Shmuel HaKotan consider to be a simon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really was misratzah to the tzibur? I mean, look, you can't win with Shmuel HaKotan as your rabbi. If it comes in the morning, it's no good. And if it comes at night, it's no good. So when is it good? Ah, l'shmuel HaKotan shvachar shel tzibur hechi dami. That's like the case we had before. You say the words mashiva ruach and the wind all of a sudden starts to blow. And then the shliach tzibur says umurid hageshem and it starts storming. Now that's impressive. Maisev gozru the tainis b'lud. So it was once happened that they made this tainis we said in the Mishnah in Lud, and Rabbi Tarfon told them, because the Gesharmim were Yordu, he told them to actually make a simcha, and they should make, after they eat, they should say Halal HaGadol, and we explained that Halal HaGadol is because it says, Beferish Neisimachem Lecho Basar, Kilei Olam Chasdo, and, I mean, wouldn't it be nicer to say Halal first? I mean, you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you go eat, no? I mean, it seems like sort of gluttonous to go running and make a holiday, and then, you know, after you're all feeling well, then you go and say, Allah Lagoda, do it first. Abaya Varava Dharmitar Vayu, Lefi She'ein Omrim Halel Ela Al Nefesh Sveya V'cheres Meleya. You can't really say Halel if you're not in a good mood. You have to feel the sense of Halel to say Halel. It's not just a question of saying the words. So if you're in a matzav in which you're able to feel those words, then you can say Halal HaGadol. Is that the case, though? Rav Papa was once, he came to the Beit HaKnesset in Abi Gover, and he was Gezer HaTainus there because he saw that there was no rain, and it started to rain, and it rained before Chatzot, which would have meant that they didn't have to be Misana, but first they said Halal. And only afterwards, they were Ochlo Vishatu. Now, Avigovar was near Mechuzah. And therefore, The Gemara says it's true, but that's because remember the Slavs in Mechuzah that we heard so much about, that if you would let them eat, by the time they got to say the Halal HaGadol, they would all have been drunk. So Shani B'nai Mechuzah, the Shkicha B'hu Shichras. So it's better that they should at least let them say the Halal in some state rather than nothing. And this brings us to our Kapitan, who hopefully is in a good state having had his porridge this morning. And Hadran Alach Seder Taniot Elu.
Boo.